get it started in here.
I used to listen to other morning shows, baby, but there was something missing. They were old, they were dull and boring, maybe I just couldn't listen. And then I found the best show around, Justice True and Samantha got my morning attention. And I'm gonna listen to Justice and True, it's the only show I listen to. I won't miss a beat, I'm just gonna keep it on Justice and Drew.
Then I look at you.
Can you dig it?
And the world's alright with me.
Can you dig it?
Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be.
Can you dig it?
Twix is News Talk AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Good morning. This is Buckle Up, your Thursday edition of Justice and Drew. I am Drew. That man over there is John Justice, with the glow of Ready Player One still emanating off of him.
Yeah. If I didn't have to work today, I would have turned right back around and walked back into the theater to watch the next screening, even if it wasn't until like the next morning.
Just sat there waiting.
So much fun.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'll see it on Saturday.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the book quite a bit.
Yeah, it's a lot different than the book.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a ton of fun. I'll say this, and this is really only going to matter to those that really like know me, like you two guys. There's some moments in there you're going to go, I understand why John likes this movie. And it's not just the nostalgia factor either, but it really was a lot of fun. He did a great job, and it's nice to see. I like Spielberg, but after like stuff like The Post and some of the other things that he's done, this was a very much a return to form. And very clearly in the same vein of his older, the movies that we grew up on. There's some even thematic elements, and the way it plays out he was keen to go and make it feel like those movies that we watched when we were younger. It was cool.
Good. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. In there, pushing our buttons this morning and answering your phone calls at 651-989-5855. This is a lovely, talented, radiant, golden-haired Sam Sansevier.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I have not seen Ready Player One yet, but I will.
Big show today. We were at the rally for tax cuts yesterday at the Minneapolis Convention Center. Enjoyed watching a forum with Representatives Eric Paulson, Tom Emmer, and Jason Lewis, and Mike Lindell from MyPillow.
That's right. That's right. We discovered something very, very important after the event. We'll explain here in just a moment. Drew's not aware of this yet, but something happened, and I'm very glad that it happened because we discovered something, and so we'll share that in just a moment.
And Vice President Mike Pence came out and gave a rousing speech to the crowd, got everybody fired up.
It was a good speech.
Yeah, it was.
It was good.
We're going to talk to Jason Lewis today at 8:20. Also, Minnesota GOP Chair Jennifer Carnahan is going to join us in studio at 8 o'clock. And from Fox News, Katie Pavlich at 8:35.
As Sam will agree, on the escalator ride out, we were informed by a Trump supporter in a MAGA hat that apparently Trump will be coming to our great state at some point in the near future.
We were.
It was a non-solicited, as we were having a discussion, a voice behind us says,
"Yes, it's yes. So Trump's coming to town."
We're like, okay.
Right. We were literally like mid-conversation, just kind of chatting about the event. And he's like, Trump's coming to town. Like to us, directly to us. It's not like he was just talking to himself.
Well, that was the thing, right? So I imagine he probably will at some point in time. To which he reiterated, no, I know he's coming. We just don't know the date yet. I was like, oh,
cool.
Okay. Right. Is that a warning?
He was really super decked out, too. He had his, he had the hat. He had the shirt. He had like a scarf and pants. I don't know.
It, that's a thing that I don't quite get.
Yeah.
There were like a lot of people there who, and you know, this isn't exclusive to Trump supporters or Republicans. There's a certain segment of people that are very into the politics that when they go to these events, man, they have the whole outfit.
Yeah,
man.
I saw like,
bedazzled Trump 2020 hats.
That kind of sounds like the people that watch NASCAR races and have NASCAR hats, NASCAR shirts, NASCAR underwear, NASCAR socks.
Underwear.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
He said before that he has it.
Yeah, it's, I do. And that's true.
I don't need to know that.
Or like events.
It's not a visual I need.
They're boxers.
I don't need details.
But they're also like when you go, I mean, it's very similar also to like event films when you go. I just speak from, you know, I'm Mr. Theme Boy, so I can totally relate. Yes. I thought that yesterday.
Yeah. No judgment.
No. I thought the exact thing Sam said. I felt like I was at the political equivalent of being in a NASCAR race.
Right. Exactly.
Except there was one driver and it was Trump.
Yeah.
And everybody was wearing Trump stuff.
Trump's driving the car. Yeah. And whether you like it or not, we're all along for the ride.
Speaking of driving the car, this is the revelation we made yesterday. I think, Sam, I really think this is good. This is good information for the future because now we know something. Okay, Drew, if Sam and I for some weird reason are lost in some foreign land somewhere, or maybe even not a foreign land, maybe someplace that we maybe live, and we're tasked with trying to find our way home. Yeah, it may never happen.
It might never ever happen.
No.
Yeah, it might never happen.
What did I miss?
How many times did we circle downtown? Like four?
Oh my God, we went down 35W like back and forth like three times.
I'm trying to get from the convention center back to the state.
Yes.
Yes.
Why didn't one of you whip out your phone?
We did!
Oh my God. You guys are
We got off.
Sam, you've lived here all your life.
That's what I said.
I'm never in that area.
There was this bizarro delayed response between GPS talking, Sam pointing to where I need to go,
and I didn't want to
like exit ramp, and then
and then I'd be afraid to like say the wrong thing, so then I'd like wait until I was sure, and then when I was sure, it was too late.
We got on and off the freeway three times.
I think three times.
Oh my God. There, you know, there are a lot of signs downtown that say, like, you know, 2394 or 235.
It's hysterical.
There's so many. You can't avoid them. Just not,
I can't navigate. I was trying. No, I was paying too much attention.
And it was just as much my fault as it was hers, because she was giving me direction, and I was, for some reason, like, failing to commit to where I needed to go.
Well, I think he was, like, rightfully doubting what I was saying, which is fine, because, like, I had no idea what I was doing.
Wow.
But I would say, once I was sure of something, I'd say it, and then he would doubt it, which is totally fair. So he would doubt it, and then he wouldn't take it.
Yeah.
And then it would just, like, nothing would happen. And
how long did it take you to get from the convention center back here?
This is how long it took. My movie started at 7. I got home, grabbed a sandwich, and went to the movie theater. That's how long it took me to get. No, I don't know. I don't even know what time.
We got here.
I was home well after noon. I know that.
Yeah, we got back to the station probably, like, 11:45, 11:50.
Oh, actually, hold on. There's one more piece of this whole puzzle, but we have to get to Sam's Top 5 coming up, because I forgot, because the story's not over yet. I remembered the last little bit, so
there's more.
We will we'll wrap up this riveting tale and bring you Sam's Top 5 next.
Justice.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5. FM. We have a bunch
now,
of...
Now, the dramatic conclusion.
Yeah.
John and Sam to get out of downtown.
We got it. All right, Sam, so don't go anywhere. So real quick. So yeah, we got lost, and it was like, you know, I don't know, like 3 hours ago, we finally got back to the station.
Just in time for the show.
It was really comical about it. This is so inside baseball. Just from my perspective, like, we were being so polite to one another.
Oh, we're being so nice.
In the midst of this, you had no reason to. I mean, I was half paying attention. I was just so like, la da da, needed a nap, and we'd left this event, and so I wasn't mad at all. I thought it was just kind of funny. So we get back. right? And I drop Sam off. And it's really funny because I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason, right? This is just my thing. So before I left, I actually sat there in the parking spot for a moment, and I was doing some stuff on my phone. I had a couple of just some correspondence I wanted to take care of, get my phone cleared off before I got on the road and started driving. So I sat there for probably like 3 minutes before I drove off, which is a good thing I did.
Yeah, it worked out great.
I pull out, and right before I get on the freeway, my phone starts ringing, and it's, hey, look, Samantha's calling. What? Huh? So I'm like, hello? Hey, yeah, don't turn around. You don't have to turn around, but yeah, if you happen to see my wallet in your car.
You are the worst.
And so I had to get on the freeway, so I pulled over to the parking lot right over here. And I said, well, let me pull over, let me look. And you're like, well, it should be between like the seat and the door. I didn't tell you this, but it was there, but somehow it like landed like way back behind the like I don't know how it landed where it landed. It was
I don't know.
It was like you had thrown it into the car where I ended up finding it. So it sat there and I was like, why don't you come over here and get it? I'm parked right off the road here. You can come.
You don't have to do that.
I was like, what can you live without my wallet?
Exactly.
I don't need my driver's license.
Again, going back to the curtain, like the being nice part. Don't worry, you just give it to me tomorrow. I was like, well, no, I'm right here. Come get your wallet or I'll bring it.
It's got my whole life in it.
Yeah, you know, if I get pulled over, it's fine.
That's what I'm
God,
like.
You are the worst about that. Remember when we went to Norway? We had a half hour panic attack because you were at my house because you were going to ride to the airport with me and couldn't find your wallet.
Was
for
that a half hour panic attack? No, that was actually, I think we were in line for security.
Oh, that's right.
Find my wallet.
That's right.
Yeah, we were already in line at security and I couldn't find it. And I ended up being like just in it was where it should have been, which was like at the
last place you looked.
Yes.
Well, and the other funny part was I was holding your keys, and you, when we got to the Mike Pence event yesterday, she says, "Hey, can you hang on to my keys? I don't want to lose them." She had her wallet, and you had your phone, and everything
else. I hadn't brought a purse.
Yeah, no clutch or anything.
Like pockets on women's clothing that don't exist. So.
Because I know that you have this magic Harry Potter ability to lose things. When we got in the car, she had a jacket on her lap. I had the keys in my hand, and I put them like right on top of everything. I said, "Here are your keys, so you do not lose them." You know, it's just so you know, so you don't move your jacket and doesn't fall off. And it wasn't the keys I should have been focused on, apparently.
So, and one thing that a gift that this is like the most useful gift that anybody ever gave me. Drew gave me the tile for my keys. I use that almost daily.
Yeah, she's like, I'm tired of you losing your keys. Yeah,
apparently, she needs another one.
Well, and you can get one that's like the size of a credit card to put in your wallet. Yeah, so you get that.
She needs a tile on everything.
I thought about it.
Yeah, just graft one to her back so she doesn't lose herself.
You know, I used a wallet chain for years and only got rid of it because it ended up breaking. You might want to consider like a wallet chain.
A wallet chain.
You put it's a little thing you hook it to your wallet and then you hook it to your belt loop.
One of those people those edgy looking people that has like a chain hanging. From
yeah, that was me. Yeah, see, I got the little loop on this one right here on my button.
Weird. Yeah, I don't know if I could pull that off.
No, I couldn't. Did anyway.
Nobody notices. If you have a wallet chain, you're the only one that realizes you have a wallet chain.
Unless you're
one of those little things that like people get self-conscious about that nobody else notices or pay attention.
Unless you're one of those idiots that used to during the swing dancing days when they used to wear the ones that would go down to like their ankles. Oh, the chains were so long. I'm
not aware of that trend.
Oh yeah. I didn't go that far, mind you.
But that's an easy solution for you guys. But I want you to try to fit anything other than like one finger into my jeans pockets.
Okay, come on in.
Okay, I'm just kidding. That's not. I don't want to play that game.
Hashtag me too.
Hashtag no.
Thought we were doing a bit.
Sorry. I've got a better idea for you. Two words.
You can't fit a wallet in my pants.
Two words. Fanny pack. Fanny. You need a Sammy pack.
I do need a Sammy pack. It'd be so convenient.
All right. Well, we're here, but we're here now. So
we are. Yes, we did make it.
651-989-5855. Coming up just after, we're going to get to Sam's Top 5 coming up. Just after 7 o'clock this morning, we've got a couple of different stories we're going to dive into. One is, I thought she had already apologized, but apparently now it's like official. Mary Franson, Representative Mary Franson, yesterday apologized for the series of Facebook posts after the story was printed in this particular story comes out of Pioneer Press, but I think the Star Tribune was the one that was perpetuating the DFL's
press release. Yeah, a DFL press release regurgitated by City Pages and then thrice regurgitated by the Star Tribune, pressuring Mary Franson into apologizing. It's a pattern we see with Republicans and the press all the time where they find something, they go trolling their social media and they find something and they turn it into a big outrage du jour and force an apology, and yet we never see that happen with DFL or Democrats. Has Keith Ellison apologized for his ties to Louis Farrakhan?
Oh yeah.
Has he even made a comment on Louis Farrakhan's constant anti-Semitism?
Yeah, they're just mild acquaintances.
I mean, you know, does the press do any sort of digging into that relationship? No, of course not.
Yeah, no, but Mary Franson.
But Mary Franson hits share on Facebook and suddenly now she needs to be ostracized.
651-989-5855. That is coming up just after 7 o'clock this morning. Next, however, I believe, I know we've been doing a lot of talking, but Sam, the scouring, is it completed?
She was
it
multitasking.
Has been completed.
Is it completed? Okay, great.
She was chatting and scouring, and we will bring you Sam's Top 5 next.
Justice.
Bit later than usual, but we will get to Sam's Top 5 here in just a moment. Do want to remind you, we've got GOP Chair Jennifer Carnahan at 8, Jason Lewis, representative out of CD2 at 8:20, and Katie Pavlich at 8:35. The 8 o'clock hour is just
packed.
Yeah, just back to back.
A lot of people.
Back to back. Between now and then, things and stuff.
Just stuff and things.
Things and stuff.
Jason Lewis, Eric Paulson, Representative Tom Emmer, all at the event yesterday during the panel, did a fantastic job. We'll talk to Jennifer Carnahan about that. Is Tom Emmer going to be on the show tomorrow?
No.
Oh, what a bummer.
No, we do not have Tom Emmer.
Oh, that's a bummer. That was a bummer. I was looking forward to speaking to him.
Yes. Well, we'll have to catch up with him next week.
All right.
But now, let's get into Sam's Top 5 stories you need to know to kick off your Thursday.
Number 1.
VA Secretary David Shulkin is out. From Care 11, Trump said he is nominating Navy Rear Admiral Ronnie Jackson, the official physician for the president and his predecessor Barack Obama, to be the next VA secretary. The president tweeted, "I am thankful for Dr. David Shulkin's service to our country and to our great veterans."
I'm a little disappointed. I was hoping it was going to be somebody else.
Yeah, well, Pete Hegseth's name has always been sort of ever since Trump took office. His name has been floated around that office.
But at the same time, you kind of go, I think I'd probably reserve judgment until talking with Pete about that. It seems like a gig that would be very very welcome, but at the same time, there's a lot to that, so, you know.
And I think Pete's pretty, he's doing pretty well over at Fox News.
Yeah, he's doing all right.
In the meantime, he said Robert Wilkie, an undersecretary at the Pentagon, will take over the agency as acting secretary. The tweet came after a flurry of media reports relying on anonymous administration officials who said Trump planned to fire Shulkin. Earlier yesterday, rumors continued to fly, but there was no official confirmation the president planned to follow through until this news broke. Shulkin had been locked for months in a power struggle with a group of Trump political appointees among his senior staff who wanted him out. His ouster suggests that they won the president over in the end, convincing Trump that the 58-year-old former hospital executive and Obama appointee was the wrong fit to lead the agency and to moderate. Shulkin had pledged the VA would not be privatized on his watch, but would provide veterans expanded opportunities to get private sector care.
Good.
The political appointees want a more comprehensive overhaul and to give veterans even more access to VA-funded care in the private sector.
I've said it before on this show, and I'll say it again, and I will say it forever. If you're a veteran and you're dealing with the medical issues or injuries related to your service, a combat veteran specifically, but if you've served your country, I have no problem with the government just giving you a card, and you can walk into any medical facility in the country and get whatever treatment you need.
Yeah.
You've served your country. you've earned at least that.
You know, it was interesting when we arrived at the event yesterday. We was in the middle of I was having a conversation with Sam, and we were just talking about Pence being there and the difference between VP Mike Pence and President Trump, and what that must be like for Pence. And then we were talking about how, well, obviously he knows Trump very well. If you know Trump personally, you obviously have more insight when you're looking at all the stuff that kind of swirls around him that's negative. During that Pence speech yesterday, something really stuck out in relation to what we were talking about and to this. And there was a point towards the end of his speech where it seemed a bit off mic. And he took a moment and he was talking about the changes, more tax cuts when they can fully implement their plan. And then he says, yeah, and the president, and he got the smile on his face. He goes, man, he's just relentless. He's just relentless. And he did it in such a way where my impression, and you know, if you guys got something different from it, you know, please share. But my impression was that President Trump, in Mike Pence's eyes, wants to get stuff done and doesn't want to wait for things to get stuff done. And to me, all these changes taking place in this VA secretary is another example of that. There's a problem. Yeah. He wants to move forward put somebody else in there quickly.
He tries to fix it. I got that impression as well, just by his body language, by the way that he said it. It seemed like a positive thing for him to say.
Yes.
It's not like he was saying, like, he's relentless. He was like...
Right.
It was a positive thing. It was like a compliment. And you're right. I don't think that it seemed like it was something that was written in his speech already.
Number two.
Trump's lawyer raised the prospect of pardons for Flynn and Manafort. From the New York Times, a lawyer for President Donald Trump broached the idea of Trump pardoning two of his former top advisors, Michael Flynn and Paul Manafort, with their lawyers last year, and that's according to, apparently, three people with knowledge of the discussions. The discussions came as the special counsel was building cases against both men, and they raised questions about whether the lawyer, John Dowd, was offering pardons to influence their decisions about whether to plead guilty and cooperate in the investigation.
Yeah, look, this is one of those things that sort of falls under not quite the fake news category, but the we're going to do a lot of speculation and pretend it's news category.
Yeah.
That's all this is.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, the story says right there, according to three people with knowledge of the discussion, so you have anonymous sources yet again talking to reporters from the New York Times, and then it's the raises questions. You know, who's asking the questions? Well, the person writing this article.
We mentioned talking with Pete Hegseth last week that you have the Russia collusion narrative sort of, you know, falling, I don't say falling by the wayside, but it's not getting as much attention as it was. We've moved past the March for Life situation. And what is going to be next? In the absence of some other big thing to happen, this is what we get. I mean, it's like clockwork. When the news slows down, when Trump hasn't said anything or tweeted anything that the media feels like they can grab onto, like there isn't some controversy out there the media is all riled up about, they pull out, I'm sorry, junk like this. This was a year ago.
Yeah.
It was a year ago they're talking about this, but it makes for a great headline. Trump's lawyer raised prospects for Flint and Manafort. And you go to Twitter, Trump's going to pardon Flint and Manafort. And it's like, that was a long time ago.
Assuming that this all happened the way that it's reported, that's kind of a lawyer's job, is to present somebody with all available options and all potential choices. You know, that's what lawyers do in these conversations and these types of discussions. Well, here are all the things that you could do in this situation. One of them is a pardon. Now that becomes, oh, he brought up a pardon. That raises questions.
Alternative headline? Alternative headline to this, Trump's lawyer did his job.
Right. Right. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's
this is such a nothing burger of a story.
The talks, according to this story, the story says that the talks suggest that Trump's lawyers were concerned about what Flynn and Manafort might reveal were they to cut a deal with special counsel Robert Mueller in exchange for leniency.
Or they suggest the opposite. that's reporter speculation. That's all that is.
Mueller's team could investigate the prospect that Dowd made pardon offers to thwart the inquiry, although legal experts are divided about whether such offers might constitute obstruction of justice.
but they weren't made.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
And it was a year ago. It was
doesn't matter. You know what? I'm making an executive decision here.
Number three.
Story's irritating me.
The Roseanne revival premiered to massive ratings.
Did anybody watch it?
No,
I did.
Did
you like it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty good. It's really, really, I mean, it wasn't super funny,
right?
In the way a sitcom is. A lot of the jokes were kind of contrived and a little forced and a little predictable, but it was fascinating to see, you know, to see this on pop culture, on broadcast TV, to see a family of Trump supporters, you know, and that's sort of at least the first episode. I doubt the whole series is going to be like
apparently this. The second one, from when people have previewed it, because I've read a bunch about it, also has the same sort of, and I think with the based off of the out of the gate success, they're probably going to stick with it.
Well,
I
think it's great that they're portraying a family of Trump supporters in as normal people with normal sort of conflicts and normal sort of conversation. It's like that doesn't happen.
From EW.com, according to ABC, this is the highest rated comedy telecast on any network in nearly 4 years. And that's since the premiere episode of CBS's The Big Bang Theory from 2014. The return delivered an incredible 18.2 million viewers. So it was even bigger than NBC's mega hit This Is Us during any of its regularly scheduled episodes, where the weepy dramedy usually tops out around a 3.0 adult demo rating. In the adult demo, it also trumps Sunday's blockbuster 60 Minutes episode, which featured an interview with Stormy Daniels.
Yeah, it's funny because you see some smattering of headlines, but not nearly as many headlines as you saw with the 60 Minutes record numbers, in regards to this.
Also kind of incredible, given how ratings have declined over the years, Roseanne's return was actually higher among total viewers than its 1997 finale 21 years ago. The Roseanne premiere audience also grew slightly from its first quarter to its second, which is a good sign. And a couple other data points. This is Tuesday's highest rated entertainment telecast in 6 years among young adults, and ABC's best results in the time slot since 2006.
Good. You know, and I would encourage,
which is awesome.
I would encourage people to find it, watch it. If only to sort of send that message that, you know, not all entertainment, not all media, not all pop culture has to sort of fall into the same category as, you know, Jimmy Kimmel or Seth Meyers or Samantha Bee or, you know, all the sort of typical sort of anti-Trump, making the same jokes, you know, sort of crafting the same narrative, following the same sort of line of thinking. Here's something different. And if you want something different, then go watch this and support it.
There's a fascinating article from Deadline.com, and Deadline.com is notoriously left-leaning for an entertainment publication that tracks box office and TV numbers. The headline is just Roseanne's revival, huge debut, stuns Hollywood, prompts soul-searching. And we don't have time to get into it right now, but the gist of it is they actually zero in on the demographics, and they look at all the states where the show did the best, and it's for lack of a better term, Trump country.
Mm-hmm.
And they compare it to the places that Trump won. And it was kind of a startling admission, in my opinion, that Deadline actually went there, because they could have easily have said that this simply showed that this part of the heartland of America in these regions is clamoring for this type of entertainment.
Yeah.
The fact that Deadline, and not really in a biased way, was quick to point out that, well, you know, these are also places that Trump won. And as you were saying, there's not a lot of content out there for people to consume. I think the bigger question is, you know, if this is the sort of a Trump phenomenon, it does continue to show that constant negativity yields positive results for Trump, even for just a show like Roseanne.
Yeah. And Roseanne Barr, kind of a crazy person. She's a little out there. She said some pretty wacky things over the years, but I got to give her credit. I mean, this was a pretty ballsy thing for her to put together and her to decide to do.
Yeah.
You know, it really was. I mean, to go out there and say, you know what, we're going to do a show where we're going to portray a family that has that has political conflicts in the family itself, and we're gonna talk about them. And the people that are on the right, the people that are the Trump supporters, they're not gonna be crazy alt-right Nazi racist fascist trolls. They're just gonna be normal people.
Yeah.
And they're gonna talk about why they supported Trump. And that was really fascinating to watch.
I'm shocked that she's been very, very vocal in her support of Trump and done a lot of things that have gotten unapologetically.
I appreciate that.
I appreciate the fact they put the show on the air. I'll be honest with you. I'm a little bit surprised they were able to go and do it.
Yeah. Well, I would encourage people to go check it out.
Yeah, I'll definitely check it out just for the curiosity factor.
Number 4.
Lake Elmo has closed a second well over the 3M groundwater pollution. Oof. From the Pioneer Press, Lake Elmo is losing half of its city wells because of polluting chemicals made by the 3M company. The city is closing off a city well, the city closed off a city well yesterday in addition to another city well it closed more than 10 years ago. That means the city will have to rely on two remaining wells. And that's according to council member Justin Bloyer. Bloyer also said, in the short term, I am not worried. But in the longer term, this will put a burden on the city that we will not be able to handle. Because of the well shutdown and routine flushing of the water system, Lake Elmo tap water may look brown this week. And that's according to city administrator Christina Hant. She also said, all you have to do about that is run the cold tap water for a while.
just go away.
Fine.
You know,
it's fine. And if you don't, just tell yourself it's tea.
Free tea for everyone. The city shut down both wells because of traces of PFCs found in the water. 3M manufactured the chemicals and dumped them in landfills where they have leaked into groundwater. The chemicals have been found in two wells in the southern part of the city, but two wells to the north are not affected, apparently. The decision to shut the well came after the Minnesota Department of Health notified the city that the levels of the pollution had slightly exceeded the 35 parts per trillion safety level. That's according to Jim Kelly, the department program's manager. The levels are below safety limits. She said this is our way of responding. Both Woodbury and Cottage Grove have also shut off contaminated city wells, but no other city has been affected as much as Lake Elmo, with half of its wells now out of service.
Mm. Yeah, it sounds gross. It's
don't drink your tap water. People.
It's for an abundance of caution. I don't think anybody is like at health risk. It's an abundance of caution, but it's another sort of another notch against 3M, unfortunately for them.
Yeah. Officials scrambled on Tuesday to tamp down fears that the well closing was an emergency because a local TV station reported a code red alert based on increasing levels of chemicals in the well. But city officials explained that code red alert is just the name of the system by which residents are notified about routine city announcements, which seems like a very misleading. Why would you title your emergency system notifications or whatever code red alert?
I was in the middle of doing prep when this popped up. I was like, oh my gosh. And I like tweeted it out. Hashtag TCNT, because yeah. I was like, this is obviously a big deal.
If it's a code red.
Code red.
If it's a code red, that's really bad.
Burn all your water.
Panic.
Who decided to name it that? That's like if I was in charge of it and I was like, you guys, what if we name this program Code Red Alert?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a bit
extreme. Really freak people out.
Yeah, people will freak out, and it worked.
We will wrap up Sam's top five on the other side right after this.
Justice.